The third commandment. What does this mean? How should we then live in light of the world ending, asked St. Peter and Francis Schaeffer. In our sermon series, we ask the question in light of the commandments. Luther said the first commandment deals with God in your heart, the second with God on your lips, and the third with God in your ears. If you have tinnitus, you know how annoying it is to have a constant ringing or buzzing in your ears. If you live in an urban setting, you're probably not aware of the level of ambient noise you live with. When the storms used to shut all of the traffic down here, the ice storms did, though I lived 3 miles from I-35, I was surprised by the sound of silence. What if God's word could be a good tinnitus, a good ambient sound for the soundtrack of your life? First off, what's with this Sabbath day? In our large catechism, we're clear that outwardly the Sabbath day concept belongs only to the Old Testament church. Quote, as regards the external observance, this commandment was given to the Jews alone, that they should abstain from toilsome work and rest. Although they afterwards restricted this too closely and grossly abused it, as though the commandment were fulfilled by doing no manual work whatever, which was not the meaning. This commandment, therefore, according to the outward sense, does not concern us Christians, for it is altogether an external matter. Like other ordinances of the Old Testament, which were attached to particular customs, persons, times, and places, and now have been made free through Christ. The Old Testament uses physical events to teach spiritual truths. The crossing of the Red Sea happens because later the Lord would deliver his people by the water and word of baptism. The blood of the Passover lamb causes the angel of death to pass by because Christ, the true Passover lamb, would be sacrificed and his blood would cleanse all sins, so not only death passed over, but sin and devil too. Moses is commanded to put a bronze serpent on a pole and promised that whoever looks at it would be healed from deadly snake bite. That happened because Christ would be made to be sin and be lifted up on a cross so that all who looked upon him in faith would be healed from Satan's deadly bite. But even the external sense of this commandment was meant as a blessing. If you own your own business, and even more so if it's in agriculture, you know what a godsend, a command to take the seventh day off would be. When I was a kid, the UAW was striking for a 25-year and out retirement. God gives his people from the get-go 6 days and out. Farmers and self-employed people are tempted to work 7 days because if they don't work, they don't get paid. Imagine you're a farmer who has mowed his hay and the weather turns. You can see that your hay will be rained on and ruined if you don't get it put up. You're forbidden from doing that on the Sabbath with the implied promise therein that the Lord will provide. Sabbath means rest. You could rest in the Lord's promise. Now put the last two points together. Rest from physical labor in the Old Testament, prefigured rest from spiritual labor in the New. Did you hear how Luther put it in his hymn? Keep heart hand and heart from labor free, that God may so work in thee. A German scholar translates more pointedly, you shall hallow the Sabbath day that I may work in you. For Luther, the Sabbath was, quote, an opportunity for God to do his work on man. God wants to distract man from his daily toil and so open him to God's gifts. This is an Old Testament truth as well. The Lord says in Ezekiel 20:12, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. The physical rest of the third commandment, Sabbath, was a picture of the spiritual rest God provides by forgiving people their sins. Scriptures teach by God's words things are made holy, and that Christ's followers enter his rest by listening to his word and trusting it. This faith shows they know God is the one who gives them rest by forgiving their sins. This is how we put it in our large catechism. So when someone asks you, what is meant by this commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, what is meant by keeping it holy, answer, not like this, sitting behind the stove and doing no hard work, or adorning yourself with a wreath and putting on our best clothes, but occupying ourselves with God's word and exercising ourselves in the word. Now, every 4 years in midweek services, and in every confirmation class, be it kids or adults, I rehearse what the Lord reveals in Scripture, and we confess in our large catechism. Quote, God insists on a strict observance of this commandment and will punish all who despise his word and not willing to hear and learn it, especially at the appointed times for that purpose. Again, those not only sin against this commandment who grossly misuse and desecrate this holy day, who on account of their greed or frivolity neglect to hear God's word, or lie in taverns and are dead drunk like swine, but also that other crowd, who listen to God's word as to any other trifle, and only from custom come to preaching, and they go away again at the end of the year, knowing as little of it as they do at the beginning. Then we double down on that point, saying, we suffer ourselves to be preached to and admonished, but we listen without seriousness and care. Finally, we end with God's promise to require of you how you have heard, learned, and honored his word. Well, you want the scriptures behind our confessions? Proverbs 1:24-28. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Zechariah 7:13. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. Isaiah 66:2. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. In sum, you don't listen to God's word preached, taught, or read, and he doesn't hear your prayers. And yet people pick and they choose when they'll hear the word with not so much as a by your leave when they miss Sunday and certainly not weekday services. And as for the word in Bible class, give me a break. I get all the teaching of the word I need or want from the internet. Well, see how that goes for you on your deathbed. People who neglect the word or even despise it, they have no shame. If I caught them coming out of a brothel or going into a hotel with a lover, I think they'd blush. But the far more serious sin against the holy word of God, it gets nothing more than a shrug. Repeated sinning wears down the points of your conscience so you no longer feel stabbed when doing wrong. Sin impenitently enough and you reformat your hardware so that wrong actually looks right to you. Keep on sinning and link by link you form chains that you cannot break and they're going to drag you to hell. We admit this reality with most other commandments except the third. The Lord prophesies in Amos that a famine of God's word is coming. But we think we'll always have such abundance that we can use it or not. Luther said, if someone refuses to hear his word, then he falls silent and takes his word away entirely. Jesus says, plain as day in what was read, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Your not hearing is a warning sign to you. Our first president of the Missouri Synod said, A person who is negligent in church attendance certainly is not a Christian. Luther's even sharper. He tells his congregation in a sermon that if you don't hear his voice, that's Luther's voice, he will show them the way to the door and they can go and be the Pope's toadies and lackeys. There are two ditches to every biblical truth. Here, one is you can hear God's word when you feel like it and not hear when you don't, and no harm, no foul. I'm convinced this is why I've never had one person lament their sins against preaching and the word. I've never heard one person lament for not holding it sacred and gladly hearing and learning it. Not once. Oh, the tears shed over the fifth, the sixth, even the eighth and the first commandments, but not one tear over the third. Now, the other ditch is just as deadly. Hear the word of God for God's sake. This is what the Pharisees did to the Sabbath. They made it something man did for God rather than something God did for man. Man was made for the Sabbath rather than God made it for man. Part of this ditch is making Sunday a day of holy obligation, as the Catholics do, or as a New Testament Sabbath day, as some Protestants do. Make not going to church a death penalty offense, like the Virginia Company in 1607 America did. The community's rules decreed the death penalty for any colonist who missed church more than 3 times in a row. The error of these two ditches was seen early on by the church. God gave no command to set aside a particular day, only a command to hear his word and to have joint worship. Cyprian of Carthage, 3rd century AD, explains that Sunday was chosen because it's the first day of creation and of recreation when Jesus rose from the dead. The other ditch is also seen back then. During the first 3 centuries, the idea that Sunday was the Christian Sabbath was rejected outright, and the early church struggled against what they called Sabbathizing, making it Sabbath-like. Now, KLBJ Radio says all the time, because of our fast-changing world, check in with them 4 or 5 times a day just to keep up. Well, how much better to check in with God? How much better to hear about sin and grace, law and gospel, life and death, heaven and hell, from God's lips to your ears? When we listen to a preacher, we need to imagine that God is standing behind him. So taught a 19th century Lutheran. Rather than daily being told what you already know is going on, how much better to be directed to the font, to drown your sinful old Adam, and to come out of there a new man, righteous and holy in Christ. How much better to confess your sins and have God in heaven forgive them in Jesus' name by the mouth of a man on earth. How much better to go to where the God who gave his holy body over to death for your sins and shed his holy blood on the cross to cover them. How much better to go to meet him where he meets you in person, in your here and now, for the ever and ever. Some Missouri Synod churches used to have on the pulpit pediments and even on the east wall Jesus' words, "He who listens to you listens to me." Now some bristle at this, thinking they promote popedom, priest rule, a hair pastor mentality. Luther saw it differently. The phrase does not empower the one who speaks, but the one who hears. You are to be certain that what the pastor speaks on earth is what God says in heaven. Ben Franklin, of all people, wrote to his daughter not to despise sermons because of the man preaching them. What he says, says Ben Franklin, is often much better than the man, as sweet and clear water comes through very dirty earth. So too, a heavenly soundtrack can be heard from a shabby stereo. Amen. We continue now with the offering.